I'll hit record. Go ahead and hit record.
We are recording.
All right. And then I'll do the cold open this week. I think it's probably relevant that we just cold open about.
Yeah.
All right. On three, clap. One.
Okay.
Okay. You ready?
On three, yes. Right.
One, two, three. You know, it's always really fun when you go to set up your cool podcast on a Monday and you're like, I've got a few news stories. It's been a slow news week. And then your co-host goes, we should hold off on this another day. And then you're like, yeah, fine. And then the world explodes. That's neat.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
What the actual fucking fuck?
I'm sure we'll get to it in the actual podcast. But what I do in the morning when I wake up is I listen to NPR among other newscasts. And I always do it in like a half asleep state where it's like I'm kind of half awake and I'm just like I've got my eyes closed and I'm kind of listening to the news and then like drifting in and out of sleep. And then like NPR just casually was just like, and in today's news Microsoft announced that they're purchasing Activision Blizzard, and my eyes just bolt open. I'm like, I'm sorry, what did you just say to me? And then I, like, bolt awake. Like, I literally sit up in bed. I'm like, I'm sorry, did I hear that right? And then
I opened my eyes and I would have been like, no, I hear that correctly. And I went back to sleep. I would have done that instead. I'm like, there's no way I heard that right. I'm too asleep to fucking hear what I thought I heard. So I'll look at that when I'm more awake. So
yeah, I opened up a news app immediately after that. And I saw the, like, 500... news articles like, yeah, Microsoft sure is buying Activision Blizzard, the third biggest video game company in the world by annual revenue. And I went, huh. And I honestly couldn't tell you a single other thing about the news this week that happened this morning. It was, I don't know, there's probably something that happened in Tonga, but like that was the one where I was like, oh no.
Two of my coworkers had a similar reaction. I told them that after I saw your message and I was like, huh. And I told them, and they were like, "Huh." I don't think anyone really like. I don't think anyone really like digested that information the first time they heard it.
No, absolutely not. Not even a little bit. I couldn't even fathom it. I didn't even hear the purchase price, but I was like, "There's no way. That's a public company."
Yeah, You want to rent a goddamn company, I guess sell it, huh?
Yeah. Welcome, everybody, to episode 2 of Modern Console Warfare. Today's date is, of course, the 18th of January, 2022. I'm joined here, as always, by my co-host, Mike Matthews.
I'm happy to be here in the light of our Lord, Microsoft, first of its name, our new overlord when it comes to video games and all things electronic media. All hail Outlook.
All hail... Spencer, Phil Spencer. He's our Lord and Savior now. And I, of course, Brian Bishop. Anyway, we had an entire podcast planned out with a bunch of news stories, but as it turns out, there's only one that really matters, and it's a doozy. I don't know, let's jump right into it, huh?
Yeah, let's... Fuck, man. Okay. I can't think of a bigger... In terms of pure video games, a bigger story in recent memory than this.
Not just video games. I don't know if I can think of a bigger story in business in a long time.
Like, the one thing I thought about was, like, Sega getting out of the console business? Is that it?
That would be a big one. It's, like, okay, so the news story is, of course... Microsoft just up and bought Blizzard and Activision, the third
Microsoft
largest...
Microsoft fucking owns Call of Duty.
Yeah. It's the third largest company in the video game industry by annual revenue, just behind Sony and Tencent, are the only two bigger ones than Activision Blizzard. Now Microsoft owns them.
Microsoft owns World of Warcraft.
Microsoft owns, I don't know, Spyro and Crash Bandicoot, which is fucking crazy.
Microsoft owns Jim Raynor.
Microsoft, God.
Puts Jim Raynor in Smash now.
Yeah, finally. It's finally time to put Jim Raynor in Smash like he belongs.
Right.
It's just, like, not even on the IP level. Like, considering the... All right, the top-selling video games of 2021... number one and number two were both Call of Duty games. And yes, I'm not joking. Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War was the second best-selling game of 2021.
That's, I would say somehow Warzone even though it's free, which would have been really impressive.
Yeah, it is a staggeringly large company for Microsoft to purchase. Like, for reference, it was a pretty big fucking deal when Microsoft purchased Bethesda for $7.8 billion.
That was gigantic, yes.
Yeah.
This makes that look like it doesn't fucking matter.
Oh, it's a footnote now.
Yes, agreed. It most certainly is.
Let me give you some context for this. Like, it's a pretty big deal that, like, Disney bought Lucasfilm, for example, right?
Yeah.
That cost them $4 billion. So they could have bought Lucasfilm, I don't know, like 20 times over and still had some money left over for the purchase price of Activision Blizzard.
Man, Clippy fucking out here fucking just getting up all these goddamn companies.
Oh, he's going to fold them all together. Like, there's just so many angles to this story. Where do we even begin, right? Like, starting off, you already cut into it a little bit. Like, they now own a metric fuck ton of IP, whether it's stuff that hasn't been touched in years. Like, I don't know, is Microsoft gonna come out here with a new Guitar Hero game?
That'd be pretty wild. I'm looking at the games they have published in the past couple decades. Yeah, Guitar Hero would be pretty big. The one that catches my eye for some reason, Skylanders.
Yeah, I mean, they own Spyro, right? Which Skylanders was spun off from. So, technically, Microsoft could be out here. Microsoft now owns Banjo-Kazooie and Spyro and Crash Bandicoot, which sounds like the wildest crossover game of all time.
They gotta figure out a way to fucking wrench it from Sony's cold goddamn hands.
I'm looking at a list of all these different IP that they own now. Blur? Holy shit, Mike.
Oh, fuck. That's right. Oh, shit. And fucking they have Playground Games, too.
Yeah, they own Playground Games.
Be like, yo.
We could finally get a sequel to Blur like we've always wanted.
Oh, my God. Fuck, motherfuck Forza Horizon. Like, give me Blur, too. Yes.
This is like a real big brain moment where they're like, what if we bought all of Activision Blizzard just so we can give the Blur IP back over to Playground Games and get the Blur sequel we always wanted?
Yo, how y'all feel about PGR? No? Okay, good. What about Blur 2?
Yeah, what if we got Blur 2?
That'd be pretty rad.
Obviously,
I would dig that.
Call of Duty. Another really wild one is Candy Crush that is now owned by Microsoft.
Yeah! I forgot they owned that. I forgot they owned that.
Yeah, they owned King.
So, like, yeah, because Activision bought King, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Activision bought King a while back, which makes Candy Crush and all of the Candy Crush spinoffs. Like, that's the thing that affects probably my parents more than anything, is they both play Candy Crush, and now that's a Microsoft product.
Yeah, did Activision published Sekiro?
Activision did publish Sekiro, because Sekiro started as a Tenchu game, which Activision owns
right.
The IP for. By the way, now Microsoft owns Tenchu.
Right, they own Tenchu. Do they own Cabela's?
I don't think
Cabela's here.
I don't know if they have Cabela's as...
I guess Cabela's is more licensed.
Yeah.
They only own the IP. That's right. That's more of like that's a company.
Tell you what, though. They own Geometry Wars.
Also...
Let's get Geometry Wars back into Playground
Bizarre
Games.
Creations. Yeah. That would dig the fuck out of a new Geometry Wars. Wait, do they own Angry Birds?
No. Angry Birds was a different company. I can't think of which one.
Okay, because... they did publish it. I mean, Angry Birds game.
Hey, remember Gun?
Yes.
They own Gun.
Gun. I don't know what the market for a they make a gun too.
They did make a gun.
I know they made a gun.
They made gun. They made gun too, and then they made gun in the modern day in Mexico, whatever that one was called.
Right, but wasn't that Call of Juarez, or that's different?
Oh shit, I'm thinking of Call of Juarez. I'm getting them confused, aren't I?
Well, is there room to do a remake of Gun? Would anybody give a shit?
No. I mean, unless they did it as like a Saints Row style spin, like knockoff of Red Dead Redemption or something like that, where they just got real wild with it.
Yeah. Did they do the Transformers games?
They did do the Transformers games, but they don't actually own that IP anymore. I think that one reverted.
Yeah.
Because they did those really excellent Transformers games, like Fall of Cybertron.
Yeah.
And then they did a third one that was terrible. But the first two were excellent.
Wait, what's High Moon up to nowadays?
They got shut down, unfortunately. Oops.
Apparently they worked on Cold War, then got shut down.
Yeah.
Because I remember they made the Deadpool game, and then it's like, hey, what if y'all just was a Call of Duty support studio? And that's what they were.
Yeah, it really sucks, because they had a really good thing going.
Yeah, they did, really did.
Pitfall. Maybe it's time we get a new Pitfall game. Like, let's get Obsidian to make a sequel to Pitfall.
No.
Who do we get?
You know how I want to make in Pitfall?
Who?
Hideo Kojima.
Hideo Kojima's Pitfall?
I would be very curious to what the fuck that is.
I mean, I was 100% convinced that any day now Microsoft was just going to come out here and say, hey, we bought Kojima's new studio. But nope, they aimed a little higher than that.
Yeah. I mean, all joking aside, the big thing is they have Call of Duty.
Yeah, that's absolutely. They own...
That's absolutely crazy.
They own the single largest IP in video games. Like, as far as a single purchasable product on a yearly basis. Like, Call of Duty is massive.
Is it bigger than FIFA or Madden?
I think so.
Madden. Just, is it bigger than FIFA, though?
For no other reason than the fact that the annual sales for Call of Duty just, like, completely eclipses FIFA and Madden. Gotcha. It's just such a juggernaut in annual sales.
And also...
And they've already proven that they can release the shittiest fucking video game and still put it out with a Call of Duty title, and it will still be the top-selling game of the year, so...
Yeah, you wonder if Microsoft wants to fuck with that at all. Because I'm sure there's, like, a bunch of people who are not sure they're going to have jobs in the next six months, and not people you think it should be.
They're going to do the biggest corporate restructuring of all time after they get that purchased up in... June of 23, I think, is when they say that the purchase is set to complete.
Yeah, and what does that mean for, like, all the people at Raven who are, like, on strike? Does it matter anymore?
There was a news article that came out today that said that they're still going to be doing that because, like, as far as they're concerned, this doesn't change anything. They're still looking to get better working conditions, like, whether it's under Microsoft or whether it's under Bobby fucking Kotick, like, that's all they care about.
But I feel like they have us leverage now, considering restructuring is imminent, and they can be part of that.
And meanwhile, another angle on it is that Bobby Kotick is keeping his job.
At least for the time being. I saw a tweet from Jeff Gerstmann who mentioned it's like, maybe they're not legally able to say they're going to fire him at this point in the deal.
So
that's why they haven't said that.
120% confident that what's going to happen, like, I would bet money on this exact series of events happening, is that Bobby Kotick stays on as CEO of Activision Blizzard through the purchase process to kind of usher it through.
The onboarding, yeah.
Yeah, and then as soon as the purchase completes, he is going to retire, like, immediately, and then he's going to collect his golden parachute, and he's going to fuck off and become a VC or something like that. Like, it's going to go exactly that way. He's not going to get fired. He's not going to face any repercussions for all the shitty things he did, but he's not going to be a part of that company when Microsoft owns it. There's no way.
If he is, then Microsoft has lost his goddamn way, and they've been, at least from a PR perspective, pretty fucking excellent for the past 5 years. Definitely, like, in the back half of Xbox One era, they've been nailing it.
Oh, it just, Phil Spencer came on as the head of Xbox and has really known how to turn their image around.
Because, I mean, I think he was a dev, wasn't he? I forgot where Phil got his start at.
He was gosh, what? I don't remember what Phil.
I'm about to go find out.
Started as, I want to say it was somewhere in the community aspect, but
I thought he was at Rare, but maybe I'm wrong.
But anyway, Bobby Kotick is not going to come, or is going to come away from this unscathed, and that sucks. But I mean, in the end, whatever gets better working conditions for the people at Blizzard, that's really what I care about.
So he began Microsoft at, of all fucking things, Encarta.
Encarta?
That little nugget there. I haven't heard that word in a while, have you?
No, I have not heard Encarta in a long, long time.
To the children in the podcast, that used to be a encyclopedia CD software.
Mm, good, Encarta.
Yeah.
Yum.
Then he was GM of Microsoft Game Studios, was EMEA? I'm not sure what that is.
Yeah, EMEA was... shit.
Was it European?
Yeah, I think it was European. Europe, Middle East, and Africa. Yeah. EMEA.
Yeah, and he worked with Lionhead and Rare. And then he became GM Microsoft Studios in the present year later. And then he led Xbox in early 2014.
Yeah.
So he worked with devs coming up, at least.
Absolutely. And then when, what's his face that ran Microsoft during the beginning of the Xbox One era and really fucked that whole thing up left, he took over and really, like, he spent a lot of time really digging into, like, okay, how do we turn our image around? What do we need to do to make the Xbox brand relevant again? And it really came down to the idea of, like, okay, well, we need to get more IP, so let's start making some smart acquisitions to get more IP in the mix. Cool. Okay. And then he started doing that, and he's like, all right, well, then we should start building Game Pass as a platform instead of as just, like, you know, Xbox Live Gold, because that was kind of pointless in the latter years of the Xbox One. So he built Game Pass out and said, like, how do we give more value to gamers outside of buy our console? Well, we make it $15 a month. You get several hundred video games completely part of that deal across PC and Xbox. It doesn't matter where you're playing, as long as you're playing on a Microsoft platform. That's really kind of what it came down to. And by doing that, he just kind of slowly built up goodwill for the Xbox brand.
Yeah. And also, I'm looking at the Wikipedia page here. He advocated for crossplay early in that era, which was probably about middle 2018 was when crossplay became over thing, when Fortnite started to blow up.
Yeah, it was when Fortnite Battle Royale really started to get big, and they were basically saying, we're ready to turn on crossplay whenever. As a matter of fact, I think they already did crossplay with PC, and it was just, they made Sony look like a bunch of clowns by saying, like, no, yes, our walled garden.
I think they try to say, like, no, we were concerned about the safety of our players or some kind of bullshit.
The most bullshit fucking line in the entire world. It was like, oh, we care about the safety of our players. We can't control the game space when it's got crossplay with those plebs from Xbox and PC. Like, fuck off. What are you talking about?
Yeah, it was a time, and Phil was out there with that. He was also big into making sure Xboxes were fully backwards compatible.
Yeah.
Going forward, he's part of the purchase of Mojang, or Mojang,
yeah,
which of course was Minecraft. Which
that was really the beginning of the whole, how, yes, do we get more IP in Microsoft's corner?
It turns out Minecraft, pretty good one to have in your pocket.
Yeah,
it turns out.
Yeah, Minecraft was a popular, really smart one.
And then Bethesda was gigantic. That was pretty huge. It was like, oh shit, Microsoft owns Skyrim, which was.
The first one was Mojang, and then they did that one E3 where they came out and they said that they purchased five studios. Like, one of them was Playground, right, Games, one of them was Ninja Theory, one of them,
I think, also was, what is Tim Schafer Studio?
Oh, yeah, Double Fine,
yeah.
So they kind of came out and they said that they bought a bunch of these smaller studios to give them a cash infusion to kind of help them build games, and that built goodwill. Like, okay, yeah, so Obsidian was the other really big one, right?
Yes, that was pretty big.
Yeah, so they bought all these smaller studios that had, like, name recognition. They weren't nobody studios, and they said, like, okay, we're buying these studios, but we're not going to fuck with it too much. We're going to give them the autonomy to keep making the games we know that they're able to make, but we're going to give them, like, big budgets to be able to do that, which is how we got stuff like Psychonauts 2 this year, how we got stuff like
Hellblade 2
coming out. Were you part
of Hellblade?
What?
Yeah. Like, they'd known Ninja Theory prior to Hellblade 1, did they?
No. Ninja Theory, I mean, they did, like, They did a couple of smaller games, and they did that DMC game, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
The best Devil May Cry game.
That was kind of their big one, where they went to 4A into AAA games, and then that one didn't really pan out all that well for them. I don't think that game sold that well. So they said, all right, well, let's go back and we'll kind of reconfigure our budget and start making these AA games. And then that's how we got Hellblade, and that did really well for them.
And that's fucking neat. Games need that shit.
And then I think Microsoft came in there and was like, what if we gave you a lot of money to keep making games like Hellblade? And then that's kind of what they've been doing.
And got stuff like Ori and the Blind Forest, stuff like Cuphead. I remember Cuphead being in one like that. Like I remember seeing Cuphead. That was like part of like the sizzle reel.
Yeah, that's right.
And I felt like everybody was like, wait, what the fuck was that? Hold on a goddamn minute. And you know, Cuphead turned out to be a phenomenal game that can also go suck a dick.
Yeah, but I can't play Cuphead, but I sure do like watching Cuphead.
Cuphead is an amazing game, and it can also go fuck its own mother.
Yeah.
But yeah. As far as the video game industry, they've probably been among the best publishers in the past 5 to 7 years.
Oh, for sure.
If not the very best one.
Ironically, they've been one of the best publishers as Activision Blizzard themselves have kind of been going the other direction. Like,
yeah, remember when Blizzard was one of the top publishers too?
Oh man, 2016 when Overwatch came out, everybody was losing their minds. Like, oh man, Activision Blizzard is just out here killing it. They're out here being one of the best stewards of video games because they had no idea any of this was happening in the back.
So let me ask you a question. Where do you think Blizzard peaked? Because I think it's safe to say they probably peaked. At least momentarily. They might change under new management. But let's say they already peaked. Do you think that was WoW?
I mean, define peak. I think it came in peaks and valleys, and then we just had a really long valley because there was a peak around WoW time. There was a peak during Guitar Hero when that was really big. Tony Hawk was a huge one for Activision for a long time.
No, I'm saying just Blizzard.
Blizzard?
Now. Just Blizzard, yeah.
Yeah, I would say probably WoW. So I think
for Activision, it was probably MW2.
For Blizzard, I don't, they had a lot of really strong IP. MW2 was just another really big one of those, but that is kind of where it became.
I would say that was the biggest. That was probably the biggest Call of Duty launch in my. I mean, that's just me being an old man, but in my mind's eye, it's like the biggest.
I want to say Blizzard kind of hit its peak around like WoW. Frozen like Throne, maybe? Like, when they were doing...
So like 2007, 2008?
When they were doing expansions for World of Warcraft, and they were getting, like, progressively better. And I think Frozen Throne was the last one that was, like, universally beloved. Because...
What was that? Oh, Wrath of the Lich King.
That's what I meant. Wrath of the Lich King. Frozen Throne was the expansion for Warcraft 3. You know, Wrath of the Lich King was the last one that was kind of, like, universally beloved. And then after that, you got, like, Cataclysm, which had its fans and it had its detractors, and then
yes, and then Overwatch changed shooters.
Overwatch was really good, and at the time, like, you know,
the best,
it established watchable esports in a way that hadn't really been done before. I don't know if I'd consider it a peak of Blizzard, though. I think that was just like, that was a product that they had. They were having a lot of trouble turning that game around as an MMO, so they came out and they just said, all right, well, let's take the assets that we have and turn this around as a third-person shooter, and they happened to make a really good one of those.
I would say they're pretty in the forefront of, like, how to put this? Personality-based video games doesn't sound correct, but you know what I'm getting at.
For a long time, people considered them the Pixar of video games. Like, that was it. Like, if Activision Blizzard had their name, or I'm sorry, just Blizzard, if Blizzard had their name on a product, you knew it was going to be a very high quality product. Like, they didn't come out.
Yeah, and
they did not make bad video games.
And in Overwatch, at least we can say now, was where it all went downhill for after that.
Yeah, yeah. 2016, like, peak. The beginning of Overwatch and maybe like the year after that was like, it was great. It was like, man,
amazing. Their
Blizzard is at the top of the world. They can do no wrong.
Yeah.
And then just immediately after that, it started going downhill. And then in 2019, 2020, it started going downhill very, very fast. And now here we are.
Yeah.
Like, that company's reputation tanked so fucking quickly. It's
deserved, though.
Yeah, and you could tell, like, hindsight is 20/20, but you could tell something was wrong there when all of their leadership started dipping out, and you're like, wow, that's right. Very weird that every single senior member of this company is all of a sudden leaving all at once. Huh.
I think for everybody else, it was like when they announced they had record profits at the same time as them cutting staff during a pandemic.
Oh, yeah. It was always, like, bafflingly bad over there, but they kept putting out, like, really quality games, so I guess people didn't give a shit.
I mean, like, Warzone was good. Warzone is good, actually. So, and, you know, they didn't do what they published for the Tony Hawk remaster, which was really good.
I mean, they're putting out good games. Like, if anything, the most bad I feel... Well, not the most bad. I feel the most bad for the Blizzard employees that had to deal with the fucking shitty work environment.
Such harassment, yes.
Yeah, but, I mean, I feel bad as well for... was it Vicarious Visions that got folded into Blizzard? Because they were kind of just doing their own thing at Activision. Making that Tony Hawk remake. And then Blizzard was like... Okay, we're going to put you on this Diablo remake. And by the way, you're part of Blizzard now. So, and then they got added to Blizzard. And I think it was like maybe 3 months later that all of this stuff came out with that lawsuit from the state of California. So they really got rolled into Blizzard at the exact wrong time.
Yeah. I had the image in my head of Overwatch 2 developed by Blizzard, published by Microsoft.
I mean, Overwatch 2 published by Microsoft, Overwatch 2 releasing as a Game Pass game makes the most sense in the world, actually.
Right now, especially. Yes.
Yeah. And, I mean, that's worth remembering, too, is that all of Microsoft's exclusive are releasing on Game Pass. Like, you get maybe they jack the price of Game Pass up from $15 a month to $20 a month.
Now it's justified.
For $20 a month, you get, like, the new Call of Duty game every year. This is, I think this might be the inflection point finally where they turn Call of Duty.
Wait, hold on a goddamn minute. Hold on, I just had a thought. Literally all the Call of Duties on Game Pass.
Yeah. Oh, they could do that for sure.
Fuck.
And
because like
it's got backwards compatibility, Steam, so you can just put them all on there.
That's crazy because on Steam, like Call of Duty is notorious for never really being on sale. Like even when Call of Duty 4 is on sale, it's still $20 for a game that is, what, 16, 17 years old now?
Yeah.
But if they had, like, Call of Duty, Call of Duty 9 Offensive, Call of Duty 2.
Call of Duty Big like Red every one single, would be a good one to get on there, yeah.
Yeah, every single Call of Duty can play them back to back. I would happily pay $20 to do that.
I mean, if they really want to go all out, they could get like a 343 going for the old Call of Duty games and do like a Call of Duty collection of remastered Call of Duty games like they did with Halo.
That'd be neat. That'd be fucking cool. And there's like more than enough games to like justify that shit too.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like that is absolutely something that they could do if they wanted to. But I think the bigger thing that this probably has bearing for in the Call of Duty franchise is when you only have to pay a $20 a month membership to get access to Call of Duty, then they don't have to keep it up with these annual releases anymore of Call of Duty. They can just be like,
that's...
you get, for your $20 a month on Game Pass, you get access to Call of Duty, and through that you get an annual, like a giant annual update every year, and maybe you can purchase a campaign for $20-$30 or something like that every year.
So that's my next thought. Do you think under Microsoft, Call of Duty remains annual?
No, I don't. I think instead of doing it like an annual product, I think they do something like Fortnite, where they have a series of seasons, and once a year, they change the season. So like, oh, this season is Black Ops, or oh, this season is
Modern Warfare.
Yeah, World War II, or this season is Modern Warfare.
This season is Kevin Spacey. Oh, wait, no, sorry. Wait, no. Sorry.
Yeah, so they could easily do that. And then if they wanted to keep making single-player campaigns, they could still do that, but they wouldn't have to charge like a $60 price for that. They could say, hey, you've got access to Call of Duty through Game Pass. If you want access to the campaign, get it for free. I mean, like, Halo did it. Halo just said you get access to the campaign for free, and the... multiplayer is free to play. I would bet money that they do
You mean like you pay the camp. You pay for the camp. Oh, you mean through Game Pass?
Yeah, through Game Pass.
Yeah, you're right.
Like that's absolutely something they could do. Or and if they wanted to do like a separate campaign that you would pay for, they could just say, "Hey, pay us $40 and get access to the campaign," or $30 if they're feeling generous.
Has Call of Duty literally not been not annual since Call of Duty 2?
Yeah, it's true. Call of Duty has come out every single year since Call of Duty 2.
So, which I think was, that was a Xbox 360 launch game.
Yeah.
Call of Duty 2.
Yeah, I think it kind of crossed the streams between the PS2, GameCube, and the Xbox 360 PS3 era.
2005. This is when that game came out, which is right, I think, right before the launch of Xbox One, or right about the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah. This upends the whole goddamn industry. For real. Because, like, imagine if Phil Spencer, I'm sure it's okay, to clarify, I'm sure there are more people involved than just him. With that said,
yeah.
What if he is part of the collective that saves Blizzard?
I mean, Satya Nadella was out there today talking about the purchase. He's the CEO of Microsoft, so clearly he was involved in some capacity because, you know, he's the CEO of Microsoft.
That's a lot of money. Yeah.
But I think Larry Herb...
I'm guessing I'm set off on that.
Not Larry Herb. I think Phil Spencer is taking over as CEO of Blizzard once that purchase goes through, so... Clearly, he was a big part of that.
The new CEO of Microsoft, of Xbox at that point.
Yeah. He already is the CEO of Xbox, I think.
Oh, you're saying dual role.
Yeah.
Maybe he has a kind of time.
The main thing with this... another aspect of this is just, like, is this going to pass certification from all the governing bodies that it needs to pass certification from for them to purchase this?
I think there is a potential antitrust lawsuit.
I mean, if Disney could purchase Fox, you could make a case that it would be pretty similar. I saw some people kind of speculating. A friend of mine, whose dad works in the video game industry, was speculating on Facebook today. He thinks there's like a 70% chance that it makes it through and it is fine. But when you think of the number of pies that Activision has its fingers in across different countries, like, they'd have to get certification from not just the US, but like Europe. And European antitrust laws are even harder to kind of get over than here. And they'd have to get certification in, like, China. There's, like, Chinese companies that they own a big, significant part of, right?
Yeah.
So there's all of that to consider. And then...
I'm surprised it didn't leak at all.
Considering everything that has been happening at that company over the last few months, probably while they were in talks with Microsoft... It is, like, literally insane that nothing leaked. That's
a minor miracle. Probably the wrong use of miracle.
Phil Spencer's out here saying, like, oh, we're reevaluating our relationship with Activision Blizzard after all that sexual harassment scandal stuff came out. Turns out reevaluating the relationship was, we're just gonna fucking buy Activision Blizzard.
Wait till one of your biggest rivals' stock price is down 20% in the past year and just buy them at a fucking bargain.
Yeah, and I think, like, their stock price was down, I think, in the mid-70s as of today, it was up another 25% on the news. But before that, it was down in the mid-70s, and I think they bought it at the equivalent of about $95 a share, which is much lower than it was previously, like, before the sex scandal. I think it was around $110 a share. But more than the 75 it was. But I mean, that, like, that's part of purchasing a company, is you got to buy shares at a premium because you got to buy out shares from everybody, basically.
Yeah.
Huh. And that's not even touching on the fact Satya Nadella was out here this morning with his thing, like, we bought Activision Blizzard because we want to get in on the metaverse, as if Activision Blizzard is the best option to get in on the metaverse. Like, what metaverse is Activision Blizzard currently working on? Warzone?
Overwatch porn.
Oh, finally. We all knew it was coming.
If you
want to
get meta, get to see Widowmaker's butt. And then
I can't wait.
She shoots you in the goddamn face.
I can't wait to purchase Widowmaker NFTs, right?
Oh, fucking god damn it.
It's god, all NFTs god all the way down it. From here. They're god purchasing Activision Blizzard for $69 billion.
Purchase this Widowmaker skin that then use on the blockchain that then use in the next Perfect Dark.
Finally. It's what we deserve.
Yeah. Joanna Dark, dressed like Widowmaker. Exactly. There are so many different directions this can go. They could fucking reboot Call of Duty. They could fucking do it. They probably shouldn't, honestly. If I was a business guy, I'd be like, fucking, what are you fucking doing? Don't do that shit. Because it's a goddamn, it's one of the biggest cash cows in gaming ever. And still looks to be one. So I don't think they'd reboot that any goddamn time soon. But they might choose, yeah, they might do a seasonal thing. They might make like zombies a free-to-play game finally. Make it its own thing.
Yeah. They absolutely could.
They could somehow make Warzone better. Because Warzone is arguably, it's like what? At least top five in battle royales in the world. It's like what? It's like it's Warzone, PUBG, Fortnite, Apex, and then something else I'm forgetting, obviously.
I don't
maybe,
know.
Maybe, what, Free Fire?
Yeah,
apparently.
Free Fire, I guess, is one of those. We'll get to that, I think, briefly in a minute here, but yeah.
Yeah. But as much as it is fun to speculate what they're going to do or could do, I have no goddamn idea where this could go. This could go so many fucking directions.
I mean, okay, we talked about some of the IP that Microsoft is getting in this purchase, but I mean, consider the studios. Like, Activision owns like 20 studios, right? They own, just going down the list, like Beenox, formerly High Moon. I bet they've got High Moon, like the shambling corpse of High Moon, in there somewhere. Infinity yeah. Ward. They own King. They own...
Fuck. Microsoft owns Infinity Ward.
Yeah.
Like, the more I think about it, the more crazier it gets. They own Sledgehammer now.
Yeah, they own Sledgehammer. Yeah. They own Treyarch. They own Toys for Bob. They own Raven. Yeah. Just all of these studios that they're getting as part of this, too.
And those studios aren't nothing. Those studios have made some of the biggest games in the past decade. By the nature of him having Call of Duty in the box, I guess. But, you know.
They own, like, some of the other weird things that they own, too. They own Demonware, which I think is a middleware program. They own Major yes. League Gaming. Major League Gaming is
they
owned
MLG?
By... Yeah, the MLG is owned by Activision Blizzard, so...
Yo, can you bring Fatality back? What's he up to?
Yeah, let's get Fatality up in the mix again.
Make it more short this time, though.
And then obviously Activision's publishing arm, they own that, and Blizzard. So, like, they're just getting all of this shit as part of this too. I would love to see Toys for Bob just do this really wild platformer game where they just kind of do, like, seeing Toys for Bob do like a Banjo-Kazooie game would be insane.
Oh, that'd be pretty cool.
You know, if Rare's kind of stuck doing these, like, more high-profile IP, like, whatever that one that they're working on now that's apparently in development hell.
Yeah, let me go look at what Rare's up to. I keep thinking of them as a Sea of Thieves people.
No, I mean, they do the Sea of Thieves thing, but they announced that game a couple of E3s ago or at a presentation somewhere that they're working on, like, Everwild, I think it's called.
Yeah. I keep confusing that with Wild.
It's a,
which I think is now
different
dead.
Thing, yeah.
Everwild, yes.
That game, it came out in a news story a couple weeks back that is apparently in a lot of trouble. It's been sort of speculated that it's kind of gone into development hell a little bit. But, yeah, if they're not going to work with their old IP like Banjo-Kazooie, let Toys for Bob have it and then do a Banjo-Kazooie game. They'd kill it, absolutely.
I wouldn't mind playing, even though I think I was... I felt too young and manipulated to enjoy Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts, because I felt lied to. But yeah, having them do a good old-fashioned Banjo-Kazooie game, and then maybe a new Nuts and Bolts, if that is something they can do or want to do, would be interesting.
It was just a real damn shame that Activision was out here with this really excellent studio that did, like, a bunch of really excellent platformers games, because they did that Spyro Trilogy remaster, they did the...
Yeah,
and
that was well-received.
Yeah, and then they did Crash Bandicoot 4, which was really well-received, and then they just said, like, oh, by the way, we're basically turning Toys for Bob into a support studio for Call of Duty. Like, what? Why the fuck would you do that? You got this studio doing all this great shit, and you're just going to turn them into a Call of Duty support studio? Get out of here.
Yup. Because I can't hear you over all this money. So
it was just such a damn shame that Activision basically at the end there was just kind of like, we've got how many studios now? Oh, and they're not all working on Call of Duty? Well, let's just dump them all on Call of Duty. They've all got to do something.
Right.
So,
and it's like, okay, they're throwing bone. Okay, yeah, you can make Crash. Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, you can make 20 off.
I think.
But after you're done with that, you gotta go back to Call of Duty.
I think every studio that they owned, except for Blizzard and except for King, were working on Call of Duty at the end there. Like, I think they literally just said all of their studios were working on Call of Duty.
Yeah, they really, really did. And now maybe that frees them up to do other stuff. That frees them up to work on stuff. Maybe they want to pitch some stuff to Microsoft. Who the fuck knows? But
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we've spent about 40 minutes talking about this because it's very a lot. There's a lot to unpack here. And I imagine we're going to be seeing a lot more of this in the next coming months as they kind of, I don't know, try to purchase a whole ass video game publisher. I would have bet money, man, before today that they were going to purchase something like Kojima Studios or even EA. I thought EA was
EA. Right, EA is one rumored for the past, like, what, 3-4 years?
Yeah, because EA has really been struggling to kind of get games out there the last couple of months. I think they would have been might have been looking for a cash infusion. Plus, they already had EA Play as part of Game Pass. I thought for sure there was some sort of partnership there, but nope. Activision Blizzard. I guess they saw that company was struggling, and they just said, "Here's our chance to purchase
Call of Duty,
to purchase Call of Duty on the cheap,
purchase Call of fucking Duty."
All right, let's score this bad boy, right? What are you gonna give Activision? What do we give Activision for this? I'm giving Microsoft a 10. I think they made the
Microsoft
right choice.
Microsoft is absolute 10.
Yeah.
Microsoft did like a titanic shift in the industry.
I don't know if it'll play out for them all the way, considering all the hoops they got to go through now. But the fact that they had the balls to purchase Activision because they were struggling, like that's a real baller move.
I'm going to give Activision a 0. Because I don't think it's negative. But with the way that company has been, I'm not sure it's positive either for them. I think it's a net 0 for them.
I'm going to err on the negative side just because I think they showed their hand as being weak enough to get purchased by Microsoft on the cheat. I'm going to go like a minus 7.
That's fine. I get that.
Yeah, I just like the fact that they fucked up so hard that they opened themselves up to a corporate takeover is just it's just way too much. Let me tell you though, you know who's getting the best out of this? Bobby Kotick.
Level one, us. Okay, yeah, no.
I'm giving Bobby Kotick an 8, not because I agree that he's like doing really well at it, but because of the fact that he avoided getting fired from this fucking company and avoided seeing any real repercussions, and he's just going to get out of here with his giant golden parachute of like $280 million or something like that and just fuck off into the sunset.
God damn it. This is America.
Yeah.
Okay.
In any just world, in a just world, the ABK union would unionize and they would get real change out of it. Bobby Kotick would be fucking
sanctioned
fired
by the SEC.
Out of the company and then censured and then like sued into oblivion and prevented from running a public company again or something like that. But
yes,
this isn't a just world.
In a happy world. And yeah.
There's been a lot of talk about like whether it's healthy for so much consolidation in the video game industry. Maybe not. It's probably not that healthy.
I mean, we still live in a world where a man in fucking Stockholm, Sweden made a game and then sold it for $2.7 billion. We still live in a world where a guy created a Arma mod that became momentarily the biggest game in the world. So I think as long as indie game development and easy publishing on PC is still a thing, that's not a big concern.
Yeah, but then you consider
it's not a concern, but not a big concern.
Then you consider both of those companies were purchased by two of the three biggest video game companies in the world. Again, yes. Consolidation. It may be not the healthiest thing for the video game industry, but I mean, the main takeaway I have from this is, like, I think it's really shitty what's going to happen with Bobby Kotick, where he's going to get away with this unscathed. But as long as it leads to better working conditions for the employees of Activision Studios, I think that's the most important thing. And I think
agreed.
Microsoft will be much more receptive to change than Activision as it currently is ever would be. And they're in a much better position to restructure the entire publisher from the ground up and make things better.
And as we know, and as a lot of people seem to want to ignore, happy, healthy people make the best shit.
Absolutely. And I mean, it just, the whole thing opens up so many possibilities for, like, what Microsoft can be going forward and what Activision is.
I'm excited to play through all the Call of Duties, honestly.
Yeah.
That's the thing for me, because you can't do that without spending, like, $200. So,
there we go.
Or, also, hey, they own StarCraft.
They do own StarCraft. Like, Xbox for PC is also just going to completely blow up, too, with Diablo. Get all the Diablo games
Two,
on
Diablo
there.
Diablo 3, Diablo 2 again.
I don't know, The Lost Vikings and Rock and Roll Racers. Let's just get all the classics back. Right,
the important shit.
Yeah.
Microsoft owns Hearthstone.
They do. Microsoft owns Hearthstone. They finally have their own card game to work off of.
Yeah.
Can you imagine a Halo expansion to Hearthstone? Just start throwing other IP at Hearthstone now.
Fuck. No, fuck that. Man, that's even WoW.
Just turn Hearthstone into a Heroes of the Storm stone.
Put Master Chief in Heroes of the Storm.
Finally, yes. Let's get Master Chief in Heroes of the Storm.
Master Chief.
Let's get Marcus Phoenix.
Conqueror. Marcus Phoenix.
Banjo. Kazooie.
Raz from Psychonauts 2. No, just Kazooie. Fuck Banjo.
You know what's kind of fucking crazy? Is I think Microsoft finally owns enough IP now that they could make their own PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale.
They do. They make their own multiverse.
Yeah, man, I can't wait to play as Forza Horizon Car in Xbox All-Stars Fortnite Battle Royale.
I can't wait until my ship in Sea of Thieves is just a fucking warthog.
Oh, finally.
And you get to play the Halo theme as you sail around. That'd be pretty cool.
All right.
The obnoxious as fuck, that'd be pretty cool, though.
Congratulations, Microsoft. You really bought Activision.
Yes.
I have to imagine Microsoft's going to win this week, but we got a couple of other smaller stories that are probably worth touching on before we do one more thing. Let's say, let's start with Final Fantasy XIV finally going back on sale. That's kind of crazy that ever got taken off sale, right?
Yeah. Yes, it was. It's rare that game companies turn down free money. So
I mean, I got to say, I got a lot of respect for Yoshi P, the director of that game. He really... when he takes responsibility for anything that goes wrong with that game, and he saw, like, the congestion and the wait times being as big as they were, and he said, now we gotta, for our currently paying players, we can't keep doing this. So he did the right thing. He took the game off sale and said, this needs to ease off a bit before we start selling this product, because if people start buying this product and they're not actually able to play it, then what are we even doing here? And now it's back. So good on Yoshi P, good on Final Fantasy XIV. I finished it last night. I finished Endwalker. Just last night. It's excellent.
Cool. That's maybe one day I'll play it. I keep having an on-off relationship with 14. So
you join my server. I'll walk through the entire up to Heavensward with you for sure.
It's not even that. It's a matter of, like, wanting to play the game.
Yeah. I mean, it's an MMO, right? It's the best MMO out there by far right now, but it's an MMO. All right, I'm gonna give Square like a 7.
I give them a 5. No, it's good. They made it open a new server apparently, according to this article, and they're waiving their world transfer fee.
Oh, that's neat. I should do that. Oh fuck, I gotta do that.
So, but I think, is it only to that new data center? Because the data center for Australia and New Zealand.
Oh, okay.
To get them off the Japanese servers. I'm not sure if it's going to be for anything.
Yeah, man. I was going to say, because I'm on a world that I don't care about, because I did it to play with a few of our friends that just completely started doing their thing. And then I joined up with a group of friends that I actually play with actively all the time, and they're on a different world, so I wanted to move over there, but it was like $20, and I was like, I don't really know if I want to spend $20 to just do what I've already been doing. But, I mean, if I can do it for free, then I'm going to do that. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. Just kind of a smaller story. Let's just keep adding on to the Microsoft talk. Halo 3's original servers finally gone offline after, God, how many years? The game came out in, like, 2007?
Yeah. 2007. I mean, that, for a long time, was my favorite Halo game. Because, like, Halo 3 was, like, a massive, massive, massive deal when it came out.
Oh, it was huge. I had never played a Halo game before.
Which is saying something.
I completely missed out on Halo 1 and 2. And then Halo 3 was the one where I finally had a 360. And I was like, I got to get in on this. And, like, that was the multiplayer game to play when I was in high school, was Halo 3.
Yeah, it was pretty phenomenal, and I'm surprised it still was happening.
Yeah, I'm also kind of surprised that its servers were even still running, but now they're gone. So I guess if you want to play Halo 3, you can play it on the Master Chief Collection, like I've been doing. What a classic. Microsoft already has a 10 for this week. What am I going to do, add more onto it? Or subtract from the 10?
For closing the servers, I just give like a net zero for me.
Yeah. But it's fine.
It's like fine.
It lasted for a long time. They were having a good time.
Yes.
Here's a fun one. The maker of PUBG, which I believe is actually owned by the second biggest video game company in the world, Tencent. They're suing another Chinese company that also has one of the largest video games in the world, which itself is a copy of PUBG called Free Fire. I just think that's hilarious that they're just like, hey, wait a minute, this game, these guys literally just made our game again, and fuck them. They're just taking them to court. I don't know, have you seen Free Fire at all? It is pretty funny.
Yeah, I've seen it on Twitch, and I've seen like people play on their phones and shit, and I'm like, I'm not sure how people anybody enjoys this, but all right.
One of my favorite parts of this lawsuit is they basically take a bunch of side-by-side screenshots of PUBG and compare it to Free Fire, and it is basically identical. It is really genuinely funny. They show one of these, like, two of these screenshots where this guy's parachuting down right next to a nuclear power plant, basically. And then the exact same screenshot on the right, basically, where they're flying down with a parachute right next to a nuclear power plant. It just looks a little more shitty. It is pretty baffling. Like, a lot of people complained when Fortnite Battle Royale first came out and was like, they stole PUBG's idea, they're gonna take him to court. Like, that was just like, okay, they made another Battle Royale game. But this is,
and
like,
also, they didn't know that, like, H1Z1 existed before that, so they didn't know what they're talking about.
Right. But this is pretty blatant. And then also, they're suing them on the grounds of this movie that they made for the Chinese market called, oh god, I'm gonna, Biu Biu Biu? B-I-U-B-I-U-B-I-U? Which,
okay,
is a esports Battle Royale film that is very clearly based on PUBG, but it's about Free Fire. It's really funny. I highly recommend you watch that if you have the chance. It's all in Chinese, so you can't, unless you speak Chinese, you can't understand any of it. But
I'm sure I can have someone translate for me.
Yeah,
but
that's very, very wild. I'm going to give the PUBG Corporation a 5 for having the balls.
I was going to be, like, -2 because of, like, you know how litigious companies get?
Yeah.
Look at the screenshots, I'm like, +1. They have a point here.
They got a case. Most of the time somebody sues over something like this, it's just like, yeah, come on, man. Like, sure, they used an idea you had, but it's not really infringible. This is pretty, it's a lot. It also doesn't help that Free Fire is, like, one of the most played video games in the entire world after PUBG, because it is a copy of PUBG. I don't know. Very, very weird. I'm going to give whoever makes Free Fire like a -3.
I'll give that a zero. They're trying to get out how to make some money. People want to play their games, so I kind of get it. But, whatever.
And then the last news story we have is already about Bobby Kotick. He was still really trying to cover up. They fired a bunch of employees, like 12 senior management people at Activision Blizzard. And it came out in the Wall Street Journal that he was doing that. But as it turns out, he was probably doing that because of the whole Microsoft thing, trying to clean house. So
before I read the article, I was like, did they fucking really take all the people who, like, whistle blew on the sexual harassment and then push them out of the company? And I read it, and I'm like, oh, good.
Yeah.
Fuck them, though.
Yeah, no, they were absolutely, like, pushing all of these people out, but they were just kind of trying to cover the whole thing up. Like, they didn't say, hey, we fired all of these senior management people. They basically just, like, quietly let these people go so that they could continue their reign of terror at some other video game studio. And then the Wall Street Journal came out here like, hey, wait a minute, who are all the, you let all these people go, why did you do that? And then it turns out it was because they were all not good, all bad.
Yeah, which, good, they shouldn't have jobs,
right?
How long it took for you to get there is the issue.
Yeah, so, and also the fact that you just kind of tried to sweep it under the rug, that's not so good either.
Yeah, so I give Activision -7, because still, motherfuck Bobby Kotick.
Yeah, I gave Bobby Kotick an 8 for worming his way out, but I'm going to give him a -8 to get him back to a net 0 this week. Good job, Bobby Kotick.
Yeah.
You really did it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a very slow week for video games, but we really turned it around with a very large piece of news. So
yes.
So let's go over the scores one more time. So that's
sure.
Activision got a 0 from me and a -7 from you, I believe.
Yep.
Or no, other way around. You gave it a 0. I gave it a -7.
Yes. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry.
I think Bobby Kotick, for me, ended up getting a net 0 because he's a shithead. You get a +8 just because he was so much of a shithead.
You get the bad internet, net 0.
Yeah. What?
You get the bad internet.
Oh, yeah.
Net 0.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Microsoft got a 10 and a 10 for a solid 20 because they really played this one correct.
Oh, yeah. No, that's fucking amazing. That's some incredible shit there.
Square Enix, I'm giving a 7. You gave a 5 for
making their game.
Yeah, for putting FFXIV back on sale finally and doing the right thing, taking it offline in the first place. PUBG Corporation, I gave a 5. You gave a 1.
Mm-hmm.
And whoever it is that makes Free Fire, I can't be asked to look them up. They're some other company. I gave a -3. You gave a 0.
Right.
All right. That about summarizes that up. Let's talk about one more thing. What do you got?
My one more thing, which I'm sure you'll be very smug about, is Monster Hunter Rise.
Wow, you mean the one more thing I had last week? No way!
Yeah, no, that game came out on PC, last Thursday, I think.
Yeah.
And I've been playing it, and that game is fucking fantastic. That's an amazing, it's like...
Right?
I can understand the, like... We have a friend who is really Monster Hunter who really missed paintballs, right?
Yeah, I don't understand him, but yes, he does.
And when we got into the game and it didn't have fireflies anymore, I understood how he felt. I do enjoy fireflies.
But
with that said, yeah,
it kind of skips to the point, though, right?
Yeah, no, I'm gonna say with that said, what the game does is that it. It focuses on the most important part, which is the monster hunting. And through that, because like they made the square smaller, everything is in the same like general area. You can fast travel anywhere you want very quickly. And you get into the fights very quickly too. So they put the focus on the monster battle, which is the most important part. And that shit is still fucking fantastic. And I really learned how to play my class. I play Longsword. And I really learned like how to like counter and keep my meter up and how to do that. And I'm learning that if I play right, then I literally can't get hit. And that's been like my siren song is like getting to a point where I can't get hit and like practicing and getting better. So I've gotten into the game really, really deep. And you said it was your game of the year for 2021, right?
Yeah.
And I think if I had played it last year, I think I might agree with you.
Oh, man. You mean like I kept telling you to over and over and over again?
Yeah, but the thing is, like, I don't think I would have really enjoyed playing the game on a Switch. I think I enjoy it playing on a controller.
I just think
with a much better frame rate.
That version of Monster Hunter in particular is just so good on the Switch because they do make it so easy to get straight to the fight. Like, you can get in and out of a fight in Monster Hunter Rise within like 10 minutes, basically. They make each of the missions like really bite-sized, so you're able to get in and out of them really quickly, which is perfect for playing, you know, like if you go, I have some car trips where I have to go back and forth. It takes about an hour. And I can just sit there. I can get through, like, several hunts in Monster Hunter in the time it takes for me to do one of those car trips. I think it's just really perfect for handheld.
Yeah, I think now with my... I'm, what, like, 14 hours into the game on PC. I feel like, yeah, I would definitely play it on Switch if I was doing anything else. But I will say I really do like that I can play it. Play it on PC, like, with these load times, with this frame, with this performance, and with my controller, so... You know, I got the game late, but I'm here now, and I'm falling in love with the series all over again, and I'm having a tremendous amount of fun. And after I'm done beating the game, I might just fucking play through with another goddamn... Because it does such a good job of making each weapon feel unique and also equally valid. In a way most games of this ilk do not.
I've played through, I think, the first half of that game on Charge Blade, and then at some point I switched over to Sword and Shield, and I played through the back half of that game with Sword and Shield. And then, like, when I was playing online, I would use Hunting Horn, because they made some really smart Hunting Horn changes with that game. Like, all of the weapons in that game are great.
Yeah, it's one of the few games I feel like where changing your class weapon makes it into a whole new game.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the... I hear from a lot of people, sort of like I was with previous Monster Hunter games, where it's like, Monster Hunter isn't for me. I try to get into it. I can't do it. And I'm always like, if you're using a weapon, try a different weapon.
Yes.
Because it's a completely different game. If you don't like longsword, maybe try sword and shield. Maybe try like gun lance. Or if you don't like gun lance, try like the heavy bow gun or something like that. Because they're all different.
Yeah, it's... Monster Hunter World was my game of the year in 2018. Much to the chagrin of people who enjoyed God of War or Spider-Man more. Both of which, fantastic games. And Rise, I feel like it has made me a permanent fan. Which I would never thought would ever happen in this lifetime.
And part of the reason is just they make... I won't harp too much on this because I talked about it a lot last week. But they made so many smart changes in World that they learned the correct lessons from when they made Rise.
Yes. I played with my friend.
Because they could have easily just said, hey, we're making another handheld Monster Hunter game. Let's go back and do like Monster Hunter 4 again, because a lot of the changes we made in World were specific to home console.
Yeah.
And instead they took a long, hard look at what Monster Hunter was and said, okay, what made World the best-selling game that we as Capcom did? And then they said, okay, how can we apply that to a mobile title or a handheld title? And it absolutely, they nailed it.
Yeah, it's because like the dog is huge. Like being able to sharpen on the move with your dog is huge. And having a mount is huge. And having the wire bugs mobility is huge. And also have everything more efficient and accessible. Accessibility was the big one. And that's definitely going to rub some people the wrong way, as we know someone who, you know, might feel that way. And I get it. But, yeah, but this series is as big as it's ever been now. And probably,
And even still, like, it's more accessible than ever, but it's not like the depth isn't still
there.
No,
you still have to learn how to fight.
It's as deep as it ever was.
Yeah.
I would even say that it's still pretty daunting coming into that game, even with all the changes that they've made to onboarding in that game that make it kind of easier to get into.
Yes.
It's still a lot to get into that game, and it's going to turn a lot of people away.
Yeah.
So I don't think they're quite there yet to being all the way, but they're a lot closer than they've ever
been. Because when I first fought my first monster, I died twice, and I'm like, am I just bad? Can I even play this? Can it's like, did I just hit my peak with this with Monster Hunter and now I'm done? But I watched a tutorial and practiced. I went into the lab and practiced longsword, and now I've gotten better and I fell in love with the game all over again. So
there you go.
Yeah, but Monster Hunter Rise, possible 2022, 2021 game of the year.
A game of the year revision.
We'll see. And it happened to me with Bayonetta, where my game of the year that year was, I think, Shadows of Mordor. And then I played Bayonetta, and I was like, oh, okay, never mind. Okay, yeah, this. And we'll see if Rise the same thing for me.
Cool. Yeah, finally. My one more thing, I'm going to go with a TV series this week. I'm going to go with Peacemaker.
Ooh, okay.
I really liked James Gunn's Suicide Squad movie. And I knew that they were doing a spinoff about Peacemaker. And John Cena just devours that role. Like, he is perfect for that part. Of kind of like a lovable shithead. Who's just a product of his upbringing. Like, his dad... I forget who plays his dad. But he's like a white supremacist, Alex Jones watching asshole who raised his son to be this, like, super soldier. And he's just kind of like, I'm only acting this way because this is how I was taught to act. Is this not how things actually are? But it's so funny, and the action is really well done. And I think there's 3 episodes out so far, and all of the acting in it is just so, so good. And it's got some really, because it's a James Gunn product, it's got some excellent music in it and some excellent needle drops. It's just... Yeah, it's on HBO Max. I think it's airing weekly on, like, Mondays or something like that. But, yeah, Peacemaker. It's great, especially if you liked The Suicide Squad. It's a must-watch.
Yeah, I'm happy that it is pretty good. I'm sure Cena's glad he's not taking bumps every fucking week anymore. And working under a goddamn...
John Cena has really kind of... He's turning into a real hell of a comedic actor. I really want to see them utilize John Cena more, because... He's got a lot of charisma.
Would you call John Cena, acting-wise, a poor man's Dwayne Johnson?
They're going for different things. Okay. John Cena is not afraid to go hard R-rated. Let me put it this way. You definitely see John Cena's dick at one point in Peacemaker. So, and you would not do that with Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Yet.
I think Dwayne's brand is so solidified at this point that he's not going to be showing his wing-wong around. But yeah, excellent Peacemaker. I'm going to highly recommend it.
I just want to say here that I should find this in John Cena's rap album, which exists because he had a rap gimmick for a long time. In his song
back in the early days.
In his song Keep Frontin', he said, and I quote, "I fuck like a fiend with 3 dicks."
I can tell you definitively that in the second episode of Peacemaker, he does, in fact, fuck on camera.
Does he have 3 dicks?
I can't confirm. He does not have 3 dicks, but he does have at least 1.
Okay. Good to know. I'll investigate this later in my spare time.
Perfect. Well, I think that's going to do it. We already wrapped up the scores and everything.
Yeah.
One thing I wanted to note that I didn't note last time, I set up an email address for us. That is modernconsolewarfare@gmail.com. If you have any suggestions for news stories that you want to send in every week,
or questions.
Activision being purchased by Microsoft. Or if you have any questions for us or comments, please feel free. We're also now on, I think, every conceivable podcatcher you can think of. So if you're on Apple Podcasts, leave us a review. That's always appreciated. That's how we get discoverability and all that good stuff. Yeah. But, I don't know. Any closing thoughts?
Fuck. We will not feel the actual ripples of this deal for probably a good 2 to 3 years where it all shakes
up. Absolutely not. Considering the fact that we don't even know what they're going to be actively doing with it until a year out.
Right.
It's really impossible to say, but there's a lot of speculation to be done.
Like what if they clean house on Blizzard? And they convinced Jeff Kaplan to come back and be the head of Blizzard.
Oh man, yeah. Let's get all the Blizzard people that left come back because it's not a festering dumpster fire anymore.
The right ones, hopefully. Hopefully, okay. To be fair, hopefully he's not one of the people who contributed to that workplace, which
You would hope that Jeff Kaplan wasn't one of the bad ones, but I guess it's really hard to say at this point. Right?
Yeah, you just hope he's not, and we'll find out. But yeah, the idea of Microsoft saving Blizzard is very appealing as someone who loves Overwatch, someone who likes WoW, someone who appreciates, like, who likes Diablo, someone who appreciates StarCraft. That would be neat, right, if they could rescue that goddamn studio. So
I guess we'll see.
Yeah, I guess we'll see.
All right. Well, thank you very much. That's this week. I guess we'll see you again next week.
Yes, we will. Later.